This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Elbridge Colby, who is a principal at the Marathon Initiative, writing at the op-ed page. But I'm now the Wall Street Journal, but I'm now calling on him, author Bridge Colby, The Strategy of Denial, American Defense in an Age of Great Power Conflict. It was a pleasure to speak with Bridge often during the publication of this book in 21 to talk about what it would look like if Taiwan is attacked and how Taiwan can prepare. And the metaphor that Bridge used at the time that I see commonplacely now, after these recent provocations of warplanes, warships, missiles flying over Taiwan, is porcupine. What does that mean, Bridge, to make Taiwan a porcupine?
Well, it just means, I mean, the Ukraine resistance is a good analogy here, but just to make, you know, a porcupine is something that's difficult to get your, literally your hands around and ingest. And it just, you know, it's not necessarily impossible for a predator to get after a porcupine, but it's going to be very difficult and unpleasant. And that's what we need Taiwan to be, not because we think that Taiwan can survive on its own. It can't. I mean, it's literally 1/100th the population of China. But if Taiwan's a porcupine and we are, you know, a giant eagle, and there's a big dragon that's thinking of biting off this porcupine, but knows that it's got to also deal with that eagle. Well, if it's going to have difficulty with that porcupine, you're going to have the eagle too, and hopefully the Japanese pick your animal. You know, that's going to make it a lot easier for us to help defend them, and it's going to make it a lot harder for China, and that's going to contribute to peace.
I read from the most recent information from Taipei, Taiwan's defense ministry said four Chinese aircraft crossed the median line of the Taiwan Strait, which normally serves as an unofficial barrier. It goes on to connect this to provocations of these last weeks. Is there anything that we've learned from the what appears to be escalation of threats to Taiwan, and anything that Taiwan is doing differently now than it did before, Bridge?
Well, I think, I'm not sure we've learned a tremendous amount other than that the Chinese are, you know, really in a, just a much, much stronger position than they were 25 years ago. I mean, it's just a very, very sort of visceral kind of manifestly clear indicator. 25 years ago, the Chinese couldn't even hit an aircraft carrier basically sailing through the Taiwan Straits. And now we're not even getting our carrier anywhere close to there. And they're operating all around the Taiwanese, you know, island, Taiwan island. So, I mean, what I primarily fear here is that we are flapping our wings. You know, the way I think about it is we are speaking loudly and carrying a small stick. Meantime, the Chinese probably were thinking of doing a lot of these things. My good friend and a former naval officer, Tom Shugart, I think pointed this out, but, you know, they probably had a lot of these things already planned out. And now they're just using this as an excuse to put them into force and put them into action. What they do, I think, is they diminish our warning for a potential Chinese attack, invasion, maybe even a blockade, because the Chinese are norming things that would have been seen as provocative. So that's a step. That's a major step forward for them and a step backwards for us. In terms of what the Taiwanese are doing, I'm very worried about the situation. I think the Taiwanese are at the point where they are putting their own, you know, lives and freedom in jeopardy by their you know, passivity and inaction. I mean, you know, they should be implementing Admiral Li, the former Chad of Taiwan. They should be implementing the overall defense concept without question immediately. And they should be spending probably five times what they're spending on defense. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking on Taiwan, because clearly China is openly talking about re-education camps and obviously has the military capability to, you know, get close to mounting an invasion of Taiwan. So, and meantime, people on Taiwan are sort of like just kind of pretty much going about business as usual. I mean, there's been some changes, but not anything near the order of magnitude that's going to be necessary to deal with the People's Republic. So I think Taiwan is really gambling with its fate. And I think if they continue in this direction, it's going to be untenable for us to defend them, which is not, it's going to be a disaster. We don't want to lose Taiwan. We don't want China to be able to take over Taiwan. But if they put us in a situation, in LGI, when the French begged Churchill to send more aircraft to the Battle of France, but you know, Marshal Dowding said, you know, if you do that, we're not going to be able to defend the home islands. That's the set situation that Taiwan is going to increasingly put us in, where, you know, we want to help them, but if they're not doing their part enough, then it's going to be a suicide mission for us. And we can't afford to lose our you know, the kind of the sort of jewel of our military, you know, the flower, if you will, of our military, using our Cape term, you know, on a futile endeavor. So it's absolutely essential that the Taiwanese dramatically increase their level of defense spending immediately and implement Li's overall defense concept without delay.
And the Seventh Fleet right now, as you understand it, it is not prepared to fight a long war beginning in the Taiwan Strait and spreading across the Pacific to Hawaii. Is that your opinion, Mr. Colby? We have a less.
Well, I wouldn't put that. Yeah, I wouldn't put that on the Seventh Fleet. I would just say we are not optimized. You know, I don't have a perfect, you know, insight. I mean, nobody does, but I don't, you know, I'm on the outside these days. But I think we are not in a position where we are optimized for a long war in particular. And we need to work on that very quickly, and we need to work on it hard. And that's something for the military, but it's also something for the nation as a whole in terms of resources and allocation, and, you know, clearing away a lot of these regulations and stuff that might stand in the way of a more effective industrial base.
And your essay in the Wall Street Journal, the industrial base, you not only mean shipbuilding, you mean welders, you mean tradesmen, you mean the merchant marine, you mean everything. Is that correct, Bridge? 30 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for all the joint force that's relevant to, you know, a China fight, which is most of it, should be most of it. And secondly, this is not just, to me, this is not just about, you know, welfare for industry. This is something that should be equitably distributed in our country, obviously consistent with our, you know, capitalist model, but should not just be going to the fat cats. I mean, everybody should be able to get in on this. And by the way, a lot of people want to bring industry home. This is a great opportunity to do so.
Elbridge Colby, the author of The Strategy of Denial, also the author with his friend Alexander Gray of an op-ed piece about the industrial base in 2022 in the Wall Street Journal. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.